A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I was going to be a teacher and work in the education sector, and that is what I was going to do with my life. And at some point, I was working for an education nonprofit in my late 20s, and I was listening to a presenter. I'd seen a lot of presenters about teaching and learning and data-driven analysis and all, you know, all of these different things in schools. And it just clicked for me. I was like, oh, there are excellent teachers, and we know how to teach. We just don't want to invest in education. We just don't care. And suddenly, my work in education felt like moving deck furniture on the Titanic. I was like, what am I doing here? We know exactly what to do. We're just not doing it. Thank God that there wasn't like a mass exodus of everyone working in education because I still believe that's true, but that doesn't mean that I think we don't need teachers and everybody to be fighting for a world in which we value education. But I couldn't take it anymore. Once I saw that, once I like saw behind the curtain of that, my work just felt so meaningless. And our guest today is in a very similar situation where they are in a profession that they are passionate about, but they are seeing things differently now that they've been doing it for a while and are wondering what to do next. I'm Vanessa Zoltan, and this is Should I Quit? Hi, Kelsey.
Hello, Vanessa.
So, Kelsey, just tell me a little bit about yourself. What is your life like on a typical day?
Yeah, so I get to work. I work at an outpatient clinic right now. So I'm in three different settings. I'm an outpatient day treatment program and then a residential facility. So I start at the outpatient clinic, and that is kind of blended in with the day treatment program. So I work with littles as young as 6, and then young adults as old as 24. So I provide individual sessions, psychotherapy sessions, individual counseling sessions. I run a few groups for teens, which is really fun. And so, yeah, it's very social. It's a lot of counseling, a lot of therapy, a lot of fun. In the residential settings, we get to take them out and do rec, get to play basketball, go for walks when the Alaska weather allows. And then, of course, you know, the typical nonprofit world, we do meetings, but that's the majority of my day. And then the dreaded documentation. So every single conversation I'm having, every single phone call I'm making has to be accounted for, which is not my favorite thing.
So what question is bringing you here today?
So I've been thinking about quitting my job as a therapist for a lot of different reasons. I love what I do. You know, focusing on working with young people, it's so joyful. It's just so fun. It's so hopeful. I love how creative it is. Each session looks totally different. But I think there's so much that is not being addressed in a therapeutic space. And there's so much that a nonprofit, specifically therapy in a nonprofit setting, fails to address. And I think it's just really limited and it doesn't account for a lot of systemic issues that need to be accounted for. So a lot of the modalities, like the evidence-based practices that we're taught to use, are very individualized, which is problematic for a lot of different reasons. But I think specifically with kids, like, they're very vulnerable. And I think it can place a lot of inappropriate levels of accountability on their shoulders. And it doesn't hold any space for poverty or oppression or, you know, classism, capitalism, racism, ableism. I've had kids tell me before, like, you know, I feel like I wouldn't be as sad if my parents just had money. And it's so true. You know, it's like, yes, we need to have space for that in these therapeutic spaces. And, you know, I've taken that to management, and sometimes I'm just met with, yeah, that's so true. And it's at that level, you know, it's, I'm not looking for validation. I'm not looking for that therapist normalization of the, that shouldn't be normalized. Like, that shouldn't be validated, normalized. That should be responded to. That should be, you know, we should have a solution, a concrete solution to that. So I think that's a huge part of why I'm thinking about leaving this field, is just there's not as much support for systemic and institutional issues that pose just huge problems for these kids and for adults too that come into therapy.
Kelsey, it seems like you expect therapy to do a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Like, true, therapy doesn't address systemic issues. What about that bothers you? Because, like, that is something that, like, every doctor feels, every teacher feels. Many careers that, like, help people don't simultaneously address systemic inequality. Is there a reason that you're like, but this is actually driving me up the wall? Like, I don't even think I can be a therapist if we're not going to acknowledge that.
I think because I see it so intimately every day. Like, when I used to work more macro level, a lot of it was, like, more theoretical, and I had so much more distance from it. Not like it was still happening, but I think now I'm so much more closer to it. And so I think that the drive for me to do something about it is just a lot louder than it used to be. Mm-hmm.
What's something that's frustrating to you now that you would change?
Yeah, I think, so another piece of, like, being a therapist that bothers me is it feels a little bit too, like, surveillance-y. Like, I'm keeping a very close eye on these kids and I'm, like, watching them and I'm trying to see if their family's going to slip up and I need to report them to somebody. And, like, that's been feedback that, like, families have given me and, like, other therapists that, like, well, you guys are just going to call, you know, like, Child Protective Services or the police for, like, a wellness check. And we don't, you know, there's been a lot of history of, like, harm with, like, therapists, and a lot of, like, trust has been broken between families in this field because of stuff like that. And even with, like, documentation, like, insurance expects us in our notes to write, like, what is going on in these sessions. And that has just never really sat well with me, because I'm like, these, you know, are private sessions, and these kids and families have expectations of confidentiality. And even if it's just insurance, like, they don't necessarily want their business out there. And, you know, but I've thought about, like, ways that I can still stick to my, like, values while still making sure that insurance is paying for their care, like keeping my notes vague, for example, or not, you know, sharing the minimum amount of information necessary. So I think there's ways to, you know, work within the system while not causing moral harm to my soul, for lack of better phrase.
So I understand intellectually some, right, of what is hard for you. What is it like for you on a daily basis? Like, on a daily basis, do you enjoy your job, or is this, like, haunting you all the time? Like, what is your experience of this ambivalence?
I think I intellectualize it because I'm, like, scared to feel it. And I think that's the other side of this reason why I want to quit. I like being in a nonprofit world. I think it makes therapy really accessible, but I think, you know, nonprofits are notorious for exploiting their employees and for not treating them well, not paying them well, asking them to do way too much. And I think that that's really hard because I don't feel like I am able to have much of a life outside of my job. And so that feels really draining. I feel like all my energy that I do have, all my social energy is going into my job. And so I don't really have as much energy for my family or friends. And that hurts my heart and it affects my relationships. And I get called out on it by my own therapist all the time. Like, you can't burn yourself out for the sake of like being helpful. Like, you're not going to be able to be helpful to anybody if you're not helpful for yourself. Like, if you can't even take care of yourself, you can't expect to offer anything to other people.
Right.
So it's that fine balance.
Absolutely. Okay. So let me try to summarize. You're like, I'm kind of on the verge of burning out.
Yeah.
And are you worried that you're not even really helping people? Or is it, and it doesn't even feel like the most essential work to me?
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's some misalignment in what I'm currently doing. Because I'm exhausted all the time. I don't do anything really on the weekends except recover and get ready to go back into it on Monday. And I don't necessarily feel like, at least the way things are structured now, and the families I'm working with, I feel like the stuff they need is like tangible help. Like, they need resources, they need basic needs met, they need money. And I'm just wondering if like that disconnect of like, let me give you coping skills so that you can cope through poverty, that dissonance has really taken its toll on me. So I'm wondering if there's something different.
Yeah, that was so clarifying. Thank you. Somebody's like, I need food. And you're like, here is how to not feel sad about the fact that you're hungry. So do you want to quit therapy or do you just want to like quit this job?
I think I want to quit this job.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are really making a difference. Being seen by someone who's compassionate makes a difference if you're rich or poor. But yeah, this makes sense to me that this is just like miserable. Okay, so you want to quit this job?
I think so.
Okay, say more.
I think I struggled because I feel like the alternative to not being in the community mental health world is to be in private practice, or at least like that's the routes that are presented to us that are, you know, licensed counselors or therapists. But with private practice, I just feel like it's not going to be as accessible to families and kids and the people that really need services. And, you know, I was looking at some jobs in the lower 48 and there were a couple that paid amazing and have really good health insurance. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can get my back looked at. I've had these glasses for 7 years, same prescription. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can get all these things. I was daydreaming. And then I went and looked a little deeper.
Yeah.
And they don't accept health insurance of clients. And they charge $275 an hour. I was like, what? You know? And I was like, I felt so torn because I was like, I could have such a better quality of life for myself. But then I'm excluding a huge population of people that really need mental health support because they wouldn't be able to afford it. And I think I'm trying to be mindful too, that I don't fall into like that black and white view of like, well, those are my two options. So I'm trying to figure out there's gotta be an in-between. I just don't know what that looks like yet.
Before we continue, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Is it also possible that there's like some sort of compromise where like you work for yourself in private practice, but you're one of the private practice people where like half of your clients are Medicaid patients and the other half have to pay out of pocket in order to subsidize it, right? Like, you seem like a very capable person, and so I don't want to be like, have you thought of things that I can think of, and I don't know your career as well as you do, but are there these sort of like middle path options?
Yeah, if we're talking about like Kelsey's dream, like future dream, yes. I feel like that is where I'm headed. And like live on a farm, have some goats, have a private practice, make some tea blends and give it out to the community during the day. 100%. That's what I want in 10 years. Yes.
Okay. Why can't you start doing that now?
That's a good question, Vanessa. I want to be doing that now. I think I've been doing things that have structure and that have people telling me how to do things and what to be doing for a very long time. And going outside of that structure is something I desperately want and desperately fear. Mm-hmm. And the lack of financial security of doing something like that really terrifies me.
Doesn't sound like you're super financially secure right now. You can't afford new glasses.
This is accurate.
I don't know, man. Eyesight's important.
Yes, this is very true.
I mean, you know where your next paycheck is coming from. I'm not looking down my nose at a low salary. It's a salary. But I don't know. It doesn't sound like you have a ton to lose.
Yeah, I'm not where I would like to be. So I think that's the other factor too. It's like, what can I do in the meantime until I can get to that farm, private practice, tea-making life?
Okay, should I just believe you that it's 10 years from now that you can't do this now?
Maybe 5. I could do it in 5.
Okay.
I believe in myself. I could do it in 5.
Okay, you think this is inevitable. This is your dream. There are going to be goats. It's going to be tea. There's going to be equitable access to therapy and enough money for you to get your back checked. It's going to be amazing. And so the question is what to do between now and then?
Yeah.
Isn't the answer just everything that you have to do in order to get to the goats? Like, what's going to help you get to the goats as quickly as possible?
I'm going to cross-stitch that on a pillow. I love that.
Everyone, let's go get to the goats.
I think I've just been so ingrained, too, with the idea of, like, career, career, career. Like, I have blinders on, and I'm like, okay, after this job, like, what are you going to do that's in this field? What are you going to do that's continuing to build upon this career? But, you know, I could also just do something different. I used to do other things. Like I could go back and work at a tea shop and I could do that while getting my private practice started because that takes a lot of time and you need an attorney to look at things and all these other type of things. You need someone to make a logo. I don't know very much about how to do it. I would need to learn a lot and maybe having a less stressful job in the meantime could give me more space and time to learn about that kind of thing. I mean, I don't have to be a therapist the entire time during that process of getting to the goats. I could do something different.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like what you want to do, it turns out, is get to the goats. And so the question is just, how do you get to the goats? And how do you live with whatever it is in between, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, the other thing here, it's just that this sucks. Like, you shouldn't have to choose between being able to afford new glasses and, like, offering the kind of therapy that you want. Mental health should be a human right. Ocular care should be a human right. This is a maddening situation and an incredibly disappointing situation. I just think what's exciting about it is that you know what the dream is for you. So it's like, how do you get from here to there as painlessly as possible?
Yeah. Painlessly is the key word that I need to be thinking about.
I mean, you're just going to be able to do the most good from there, right? For yourself and for others. So it's just about trying to get there quickly if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey, I'm just sorry that the world is not good.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
Apology accepted, Vanessa.
I messed it up and I'm sorry. The fact that you have this goat dream really does, it gives me hope for you. How is a much better problem that to have than what? It's still a problem, and it's a big problem, but it's a better problem.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep us posted.
I will. Thank you so much.
Send a selfie with your new glasses.
I will.
You've been listening to Should I Quit? Our latest season of The Real Question. Our show is funded through our Patreon at patreon.com/realquestionpod. If you're a regular listener, we would love your support. Another way that you can support the show is by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Real Question Pod. We love to shout out our BFF tier patrons, Molly Reilly, Kristen Hall, Mary Margaret, Becky Brew, Jenny Cruz, Amanda Schramm, and Shannon Sheehan. We are a Not Sorry production. Our executive producers are Caitlin Hoffmeister and me, Vanessa Zoltan. We are edited and produced by Ariana Nettleman. Our music is by Nick Bull, and we are distributed by Acast. Thank you so much to Kelsey for joining us today, and to Julia Argy, Nikki Zoltan, AJ Aramas, Hannah Rehack, Margaret H. Wilson, Courtney Brown, Natalie Folkerts, Fedius Reyes, Casper Terkyle, and Stephanie Paulsell. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.